Hey guys, it's Sam Roberts. Thanks for checking out today's Not Sam Wrestling Podcast. I'm starting to lose my voice, but that's okay. We'll make it through the whole show, and we'll make it through with your support. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do it absolutely for free. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to it. If you're listening on Spotify, leave us a 5-star rating. If you're listening on Apple, leave us a 5-star rating and write a nice review. Head over to our YouTube channel. We're uploading content there every single week. YouTube.com/NotSamWrestling. You can subscribe to that channel, all of it for free. Free content. All I ask is that you subscribe and hit stars or buttons wherever you can hit stuff. If you'd like even more content, you can become a Not Sam Shill over at patreon.com/NotSamWrestling. It starts at less than $1 a week, and you'll get access to our Discord server. You'll get an extra episode of Not Sam Wrestling every single week. Plus, you'll have the option of participating in Zoom rooms every week. You'll have the option of watching everything we do in the studio on video, participating with it live, everything you can imagine. It's all there at patreon.com/NotSamWrestling. Or you could skip all that. Just enjoy the show. Today on Not Sam Wrestling, we've got some amazing wrestling coming up this week, but we have to talk about the fact that Logan Paul has brought the super fight to WWE. This is Not Sam Wrestling.
This is Not Sam Wrestling.
Introducing your host from New York, here is Sam Roberts.
Hey, welcome. Here we are. Welcome to Not Sam Wrestling for the 413th time. Unless you're on Patreon, you've been listening to the bonus podcast, and then it's a lot more than 413, but welcome anyway. Glad you're all here. What a week it's been. What a week it's going to be. The year of 2022, which we went over last week, just keeps getting wilder and wilder when it comes to the world of pro wrestling. First and foremost, I want to thank everybody who picked up one of the limited edition Sammy Brand Muffins Not Sam shirts last week. The sale is done. It's over. Those shirts are gone forever. So if you got one, congratulations, and I appreciate all the support and everything that went into that. We moved a lot more shirts than I expected to, and it was very humbling, and I appreciate it more than you could possibly know. But we had a huge moment take place over the weekend, a big press conference, big time press conference going down in Las Vegas on Saturday. So this is the way, and by the way, while I'm talking about being humbled and appreciating you guys, the Not Sam Strong, the Not Samsonites, the Not Sam Shills on Patreon, I'm sitting there and I'm at home. If I had gotten advanced word that this press conference were going down more than a day in advance, I may have flown out to Vegas just to try to scoop up some one-on-ones with Roman Reigns and the wise man Paul Heyman and Logan Paul. But I was watching at home, like most of us, and I'm tuned in live on the WWE's YouTube channel, and Logan Paul steps up to the mic, and I posted this video all over my social media. But just as Logan Paul is about to speak, he's letting the audience, he's soaking in the audience response, and just as the silence starts to come up, just as the response starts to die down, I hear from the audience, "What's the haps?" And I go, I don't even have to be there anymore. I don't even have to be physically in person anymore, because the legacy of What's the Haps has now grown even beyond myself. And I can't tell you, it makes me feel like I'm ready to go. If I die tomorrow, What's the Haps lives on. And that, it gives me a peace that I can't tell you. That's what keeps me up at night. If I don't wake up in the morning, who will continue on this legacy of What's the Haps? And the fact that that annoying question, I still haven't found a more annoying question. And when I say a more annoying question, I mean a more generally annoying question. A question that will annoy the most people in the most circumstances. I have not found a more annoying general question than that. And the fact that that will now live on beyond me, as is evidenced by the Logan Paul Roman Reigns press conference. Oh, I mean, it brings a tear to my cheek. It starts to pump blood into my cold black heart. It makes me realize that even if it is a legacy of the most annoying question ever asked perpetually in a wrestling interview, that my legacy does live on. So thank you to the Not Sam Schill. I believe it was A Hard Pass who, that actually is the name, who brought that to the Logan Paul Roman Reigns press conference. And I encourage that to be brought to every press conference that you can possibly get into, because I wouldn't be surprised if a lot more of these press conferences happen. So, this all really escalated quickly. It started when Roman Reigns was on the Impulsive podcast this week, or I guess technically last week now. This is what New Kayfabe is all about. You would think, and the same thing happened around WrestleMania. So it's not just Triple H is doing, it's an understanding. And maybe Triple H had a lot to do with that too. But it's an understanding of how to tell stories in a way that will actually get the mainstream media interested in covering it. And it means not beating you over the head with the fact that this is clearly a wrestling angle. And if you're going to utilize the fan base of somebody that has a tremendous fan base outside of the world of sports entertainment, you want to actually be able to utilize that fan base by giving them something that doesn't appear to be sports entertainment. You don't want them listening to the show and going, oh, he's doing some dumb wrestling thing on the show now. You want it to just be the show, but whoop, look what I snuck in there. You didn't even realize an angle happened. That's what happened at WrestleMania when Vince McMahon did Pat McAfee's show. It's like a week before it happened, maybe less than a week before it happened. It just gets announced on SmackDown that Vince McMahon is going to be a guest on Pat McAfee's show. And you go, what? What is this? Vince McMahon hasn't done a sit-down interview in Lord knows how long. This is the guy that became famous for smacking papers out of HBO reporters' hands. He can't help himself. He's going to sit down with Pat McAfee. Why is this? And then the rumor mill started. Oh, well, this is, they're going to set up an angle. There's going to be something going on, whether it's with Vince, whether it's with Austin Theory. And you watched and you were like, okay, when is the wrestling going to start? When is the wrestling going to happen? And you just saw Vince McMahon sit down and do whatever it was, a straight ahead 90-minute interview. Within the interview, he invited Pat to participate in WrestleMania, but he didn't sit there and go, Pat, I challenge you to a match. No. It was just a straight up, hey, Pat, we'd like for you to participate in a match in WrestleMania. What happened was people reported on this without realizing that they were necessarily reporting on the beginnings of a wrestling angle. Pat's audience sat there and went, you know what? I didn't think I was going to like that, but I did like it. People reporting on the fact that Vince McMahon was doing an interview are not reporting on, I mean, I guess Vince did an interview, but it was really just a wrestling angle. They reported on the fact that Vince did a real interview. And deep inside that interview was the seeds planted for what would become a match at WrestleMania that did eventually lead to Pat and Vince in the ring together at WrestleMania. But it wasn't so straight ahead, because this isn't old kayfabe, right? This isn't, you know, Eric Bischoff going on Jay Leno's show and the NWO taking over the Tonight Show. Because if the NWO took over Pat McAfee's show, Pat McAfee's audience would go, this is stupid. I don't watch wrestling, and this is why I want the show that I like back. And so how do we utilize that audience without turning them off and having the rest? You want the Pat McAfee to take over wrestling, not the wrestling to take over Pat McAfee. And it's the same thing that happened on Impulsive. If you want to get Impulsive's audience, if you want to get the Logan Paul people and the people who watch Logan Paul to watch what you're doing, you don't have wrestling take over Logan Paul. You have Logan Paul take over wrestling, right? And so you get to the Impulsive podcast, and Roman Reigns is on there. And they do a straight-ahead interview where the first wave of press coming off of the interview is what Roman was saying. What Roman was saying about John Cena. What Roman was saying about The Rock. What Roman was saying about the opponents he's had in WWE. The focus is just like Roman is on GOAT level, and here's what he's talking about. And then at the end of the podcast, a little bit after, like after Roman's out of the room, Logan Paul just drops. You know, if it was my match with Roman, I think it would be my match. If I had a match with Roman, I think that would be my match. What? Are you serious? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, that back to the podcast, blah, blah, blah. And then once that wave of press comes out about what actually happened in the Roman interview, wow. Now Roman can say, whoa, you said what after I left the room? Take care of this, wise man. And then Paul Heyman tweets about it. And then Triple H goes, hey, why don't you come to SmackDown? Logan Paul says, say less. And boom, Logan Paul's on SmackDown now. So we get all the benefit of having a superstar appear on this giant platform. And it leads to the beginning of this angle on SmackDown without having to do a full-fledged wrestling angle on a mainstream show. And you get to SmackDown, and that's where the wrestling starts for us wrestling fans. Logan Paul comes to the ring, and I thought that Logan Paul on SmackDown, I thought it was better than the Logan Paul that was leading up to the match with The Miz at SummerSlam. I felt like at SummerSlam, Logan Paul was portrayed as a babyface to The Miz's heel. Like, I felt like when he came out on Raw, there was an expectation that he would get cheered. Which anybody would tell you, anybody that's watching, any wrestling fan, or quite frankly, most Logan Paul fans would tell you that's not what Logan Paul is here to do. That's not Logan Paul's natural ability. He's not going to go out there and get cheered. Jake Paul is not going to go out there and get cheered. He's going to make money. He's going to draw eyeballs, but he's going to get booed. It's the beauty. It's great. It's not a bad boo. It's a good boo. But fans are going to boo the bad guy. Logan Paul's a bad guy. Especially because he's an outsider in wrestling. So I thought he was miscast leading up to SummerSlam. But I thought what did happen, which I wasn't surprised, was that even more so than WrestleMania, at SummerSlam, a lot of the Logan Paul naysayers kind of developed a respect for him because he wrestled a great match. He showed the variety of what he could do in the ring. He showed how athletic he is, not just the way that he looks athletic, not just that he comes to the ring with a six pack, but that he can actually, you know, jump from the ring to the table. He can actually do everything that he did in that match. There's an athleticism about both of the Paul brothers that I think people forget about until they get into a wrestling ring or a boxing ring or whatever kind of ring they're getting into. I think people were reminded of that at SummerSlam, and a lot of the naysayers, while they're not going to cheer Logan Paul, also kind of said, okay, well, I'm not going to sit here and say he doesn't belong in a ring. I'll boo him like I would boo a bad guy, but I'm not going to say he doesn't belong in a ring. I think a lot of that happened. So Logan Paul comes to the ring on SmackDown. Roman's not even there. And he goes, what? What? I just want a press conference. What? I just want a press conference. Goes back and forth with Paul Heyman, who's returned at the perfect time for Paul Heyman to return. Knocks out Sami Zayn in a way that only Sami Zayn could pull off. I've got a lot to say about Sami Zayn as we continue on with this conversation. And the press conference is announced the following day, Saturday, in Las Vegas, Nevada. SmackDown was in Anaheim. The Bloodline, Logan Paul, his chums, Triple H, they're all going to jump on a couple of planes. You're not going to put Logan Paul and the Bloodline on the same plane. Are you kidding me? And they're going to head to Vegas. I don't think they're road tripping either. I think they're taking the short flight. Saturday afternoon comes, live on the WWE's social media and all over the place. The press conference goes down. And I thought it was the perfect sort of blend of kayfabe and reality that's like performance and I don't want to say legitimacy, performance and reality, I'll say. Because there was a conversation about the amount of eyeballs that Logan Paul brings. Triple H does have the ability to, without saying, hey, this is a performance-based medium, to say, here's why we're doing it, and talk about the business perspective and the real life perspective of what's going on. And then Logan Paul can come out there and do what Logan Paul does and get people interested. And Roman Reigns can get out there on some truly God-level shit and let the world know that he's on a different level. And the reason that at the media scrum after Clash at the Castle, he only said two words, acknowledge me, and then left, was because he chose to, not because he had to. Roman Reigns, I mean, was dropping bombs at this press conference. And the reason is, it's what we said about Roman Reigns on this podcast at the beginning of this Roman Reigns run. That Roman Reigns, the character, has evolved into Michael Jordan, has evolved into Wayne Gretzky. I don't even want to say Wayne Gretzky, because I don't think Wayne Gretzky had that sort of outward. I mean, he called himself the great one, I guess, but he didn't have that outward. He's Ali. He's the greatest, right? And it's not like he's convincing you of it. Roman has this beautiful way now of talking where he doesn't feel the need to convince you of it. He expects you. That's where acknowledge me comes from. He just comes to the ring and he goes, can we just acknowledge what's happening? I don't need to say anything else. I don't need to convince you that I'm the best. I just clearly am. And I don't understand any argument otherwise. Just acknowledge it. And people do. I mean, when he just snapped at that person in the audience and just looked at him and said, hey, I'm the greatest of all time. It didn't feel like he was singing a song. It didn't feel like he was playing a role. It felt like Roman Reigns feels like he's the greatest professional wrestler that's ever lived. And I believed that. That when he said that, he believed it. And it felt like he believed it. It's like he came back from COVID and said, look, if you're going to book me in this position where I'm beating everybody, where I'm the guy, I need to acknowledge that. I need to not pretend that's not going on. If I'm going to be able to conquer every foe, I need to let the people know that I see what they see and I have the ability to conquer every foe. Let's acknowledge it. And that's where acknowledge me comes from. I mean, I think, like, I see, if you watch The Last Dance, there's all these great quotes from Michael Jordan, and that's who Roman Reigns is right now. When Roman Reigns wasn't burying Logan Paul, he was putting him over and talking about how he does belong in this world and how he does bring eyeballs and how he is impressive in the ring. And then he says, you have the right to be the third match on any card that exists. It was like, holy shit. That was Roman Reigns' moment of when Michael Jordan said, and I took that personally. It was like Logan Paul said, hey, I'm ready to be in the main event. And Roman Reigns said, well, I took that personally. And now I'm going to humiliate you. I just thought Roman was so good. And Paul Heyman, I just know. I would love to privately talk to Paul Heyman about it. Because I just know. The Paul Heyman, when he was at the press conference, I think more so the arena, the wrestling arena, that's Paul Heyman's space. So if he's able to best Logan Paul in a wrestling arena, you know, of number one, of course he is. And number two, that may not even be his goal on a given night. But at a press conference, when all that's happening at that press conference is two sides building themselves up. When Paul Heyman is one of those guys who's like in that Bobby the Brain Heenan conversation where whatever entertainment medium Paul Heyman chose to be in, it feels like he would excel. Wrestling happens to be the choice that he made, but because of that, he doesn't get the credit outside of wrestling that I think that he deserves. So when he gets the opportunity to prove it, it's got to feel so good. And I just know that when he was standing, because Paul Heyman keeps his ear to the ground. That's one of the things that made ECW so special. Paul Heyman was just so in touch with what no other wrestling promoter was in touch with at that time. And I think that continues on. I think that continues on with the work that he started doing with Liv Morgan. I think to an extent it continues on with the work that he was doing with Lana and Lashley. And I think that Paul Heyman, more than anybody, is aware of the gravity of a Logan Paul. And when Paul Heyman stood toe-to-toe with Logan Paul and was getting the best of Logan Paul on a microphone, I know that felt good for Paul. I know that felt like, yes, yes, I knew it. I knew it. I am that good. That is an acknowledgement. I thought it was great. I thought Logan Paul was great too. You know, I thought Logan Paul going out there, he was by himself, which I think is a good visual, although I don't think it would have been a bad thing to have the impulsive guys with him, but I think it's a good visual, right? Because I think what you need to do is not put them on an equal playing field. Because if you have, like, there's Roman and his guys, there's Logan and his guys, Roman and his guys are way more impressive to wrestling fans, obviously. But if Logan shows up by himself, then you have to start asking the question, why is Roman being flanked by all those guys? Why does Roman have to surround himself with all those people? Logan doesn't. I think it's a strong visual. Forgive the interruption, guys, but I don't know if you've checked the calendar recently. You're noticing that it's getting colder in the air. We talked about the seasons changing earlier. That's because it's fresh ball fall. Yep. It's the season of pumpkin spice and making sure that your crotch looks nice. That means sipping cider in a fall breeze and using Manscaped products to trim your balls with ease. That's right. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped, a company here to make sure that your foliage isn't the only thing shedding its excess leaves. Heck, even Mother Nature knows it's time to lose the excess clutter for fall. Join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code NOTSAM. Look, nothing makes you feel better than knowing that you're prepared for every situation. And that means being able to present your nether regions. Manscaped allows you to present your nether regions with such confidence that confidence will continue to permeate through everything that you do in life. I'm talking about the Platinum Package 4.0. I'm talking about the package that makes your package look platinum, huh? 10 parts. Everything you need, the lawnmower 4.0, body trimmer, and weed whacker, nose and air hair trimmer, those are in the package. I'm talking about in addition to shaving, you can completely upgrade your shower routine with the ultra premium body wash and ultra premium 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. Because let's face it, you could have your balls groomed to perfection, but if you stink, it's not going to matter. That's why you also need the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner to make sure that your go-to smell is top shelf and not sweaty balls. I mean, even if your armpits don't stink, if you've got an oniony aroma coming from your testicles, no, you're out of luck. Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code NOTSAM. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use code NOTSAM. Manscaped, clear out the leaves. It's your tree trunk's time to shine. The questions started coming up, right? The questions started coming up, the skepticism as to Logan Paul getting this match. The fact that Logan Paul is getting the Roman Reigns match, the main event match at Crown Jewel. Now, some people say that Crown Jewel is not canon, so it's fine. That's how they justify it to themselves. But I think anybody that says that hasn't really been paying attention to the Saudi pay-per-views. I think that in the beginning, Crown Jewel, you could argue, was not 100% canon. That storylines were created for and ended at Crown Jewel, clearly, to just put on this international premium live event. I think that's changed. I think if you watch the last two or three, they've gotten more and more and more canon. They've gotten more and more and more tied into the storyline to the point where the last time WWE was in Saudi Arabia, they were continuing on storylines. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar was the match. And that's not like, well, that was the Saudi match. We don't really count that. No, we count it. It's part of it. So I don't think that that's going on anymore, in my opinion. I think that we've gotten to a place where Crown Jewel is indeed WWE lore, canon, if you will. To me, shocking, I know, from Sam Roberts. This is awesome on a few levels. Number one, why? Why? That's the first question. Why would this happen? Are they just trying to put Logan Paul on a pedestal? Are they just trying to get eyeballs? Both of those things, but not just. Absolutely a big part of this. WWE is clearly looking at how they do business with celebrities in a very, very different way. There was a time when the WWE would hire a celebrity for a mega match. Snooki at WrestleMania. Floyd Mayweather with Big Show. Lawrence Taylor with Bam Bam Bigelow. Mike Tyson as the special referee at WrestleMania 14. They would hire a celebrity to do a celebrity match or angle. Now, it feels more like they're finding big name people who are willing to put in the work and they're signing them to very unique contracts in the sense that these celebrities continue to do everything they've been doing. Logan Paul continues to do all the business that he's been doing outside of WWE because, quite frankly, that's a big part of his value to WWE. You look at Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny continues to tour and do his music and do everything outside of WWE. However, Logan Paul is signed to a WWE contract. Pat McAfee is signed to a WWE contract. Pat McAfee is still going to do his show. Pat McAfee is still going to do Game Day on ESPN because that's a big chunk of the value that he provides WWE. But you're not just going to see him have one match and go like, oh yeah, we have Pat McAfee on this pay-per-view. Everybody tune in. It's like he's a WWE superstar. He's going to be wrestling 2-3 times a year, popping up on this show, popping up on that show. There's going to be a WWE action figure of Logan Paul. There's going to be a WWE t-shirt of Logan Paul. It's going to be so that when you see these stars, one of the things that they are is a WWE superstar. So whenever you see Logan Paul, it's like, oh yeah, he does his podcast. He's a WWE guy. He's a WWE guy. Not he wrestled a thing for WWE once. He's a WWE guy. This is going to be his third match now. WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Crown Jewel. Multiple TV appearances. So it's not fair to compare it to celebrity matchups of old. They also are getting these celebrities who are willing to train and who are willing to put in the work and who are willing to put on a real performance for the WWE fans and to have a match that feels worthy, that's not just a gimmick from start to finish. Johnny Knoxville is a different story, I think. You know, Johnny Knoxville is a celebrity that came in as part of a promotion. That's the sort of old school way of doing things, which I think will still happen here and there, but that's not what Logan Paul is. I think that putting him in the main event is cashing in, number one, on the signing, because I'm sure they spent a lot of money signing Logan Paul. They're paying a lot of money to get Logan Paul to do a limited amount of dates. So they're getting all their value out of it, which I get. Number two, putting him in the main event in the world title match against Roman Reigns, the most famous wrestler currently actively wrestling right now. I don't think you could deny that. People could argue about whether he's the best or whatever, but I mean, he's certainly the most famous active roster superstar on any roster right now. So you're going to get the most eyeballs possible on what Logan Paul is doing with this guy specifically. But I think the key to what's happening here is that they're actually raising Roman Reigns' stock. If you want to know why this is happening, I think the answer is all in the graphics that came up after the match was announced, that you have Roman on one side and Paul on the other side. And then they put up a poster right away that had Roman's face and Logan Paul's face, and it's Roman and Paul. Why is this happening? Because the last time that we saw a spectacle, that's the word Triple H used, and it's the right word, a spectacle like this, was when we saw Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather. Which, yeah, boxing fans were like, this is a joke, which is fine. Because it's a joke that was viewed by a lot of people, that was covered by a lot of people, and that was looked at as a super fight because it made so much money. What this does is it's an attempt, I believe, to raise Roman Reigns' stock to get closer to that Floyd Mayweather place. I think that what WWE is trying to do here is that when people discuss the Paul brothers, they discuss Jake Paul and they go, oh yeah, Tyron Woodley. Oh yeah, Anderson Silva. MMA legends, and he's beating him. And then you got his brother, Logan Paul. He beat Floyd Mayweather. Oh, he didn't beat Floyd Mayweather. He fought Floyd Mayweather. He fought Roman Reigns. Boom. That's what we want. That's exactly it. We want people from outside of wrestling listing Roman Reigns on the list with Anderson Silva and Floyd Mayweather. That's it. That's the beginning, middle, end, I believe, of this thing. That Roman Reigns gets put on the list with Anderson Silva and Floyd Mayweather. You got a guy who people call one of, if not the greatest MMA fighters of all time. You got a guy that people call one of, if not the greatest boxer of all time, at least the greatest defensive boxer of all time. And now you've got a guy that's declaring himself as the greatest professional wrestler of all time. And how does he get put on that list? He literally gets put on that list through Logan Paul. And then the other question is, why now? Why now? The genius of it is, it's happening. Number one, it's not happening at WrestleMania. WrestleMania main events are sacred to a lot of people. It's not a WrestleMania main event. I get that. Perfect. It's happening 7 days after Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva, which means not only can you blitzkrieg to get press for Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul, but every time the media talks about Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva, they go, and only a week later, Logan Paul is going to be fighting Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia. Now the story is not look at what Jake Paul is doing with Anderson Silva. It's look at what these Paul brothers are doing. And when people go look at what these Paul brothers are doing, now it means every time they bring up Anderson Silva, WWE gets a little of that action. Every time they bring up Jake Paul, WWE gets a little of that action. Boom. That's why now. The other reason why I think now is a good time for it is you just look at the timeline and where it can go from here. I personally think that Survivor Series as a brand warfare pay-per-view, now that you've got champions that are traveling, now that you've got NXT representation coming up to SmackDown and Raw as part of tournaments and stuff like that, I don't think that the appeal for brand supremacy is there as it once was, especially because you don't even make a big deal of the draft. Like, when you do the draft, it's not like superstars ever have a preference of whether they're going to Raw or SmackDown. It's not like you have a general manager that's picking people for Raw or SmackDown and trying to build a supreme roster. It's just happened. I mean, the Fox robot did it 1 year. You know, it's not made into a big deal anymore. I think you can go back to a traditional Survivor Series format. And the way Survivor Series has worked in the past is it's not necessarily, I mean, I guess it could be a buildup to what's in the future, but it's also a way to get a little bit more out of whatever hot rivalries you've got going on already. You can't do another rematch, but we can still get a little more out of it, right? So Survivor Series is in November. This is the beginning of October. So we're going to be about 6 weeks out before Survivor Series. Once the this is the beginning of November. My mistake. So it'll be about 3 or 4 weeks until Survivor Series. There's already rumors about Jake Paul possibly being in Logan Paul's corner at Crown Jewel. I think that the move to make here is to do Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns. Have that happen. Go to Survivor Series. Survivor Series is the Bloodline versus the Paul family or whatever, or the Paul team, Paul, whatever it is. And the Bloodline, you've already got your five members. Roman Reigns, the Usos, Jimmy and Jay, Solo Sikoa, and the honorary Us, Sami Zayn, versus Logan Paul, Jake Paul, and then you bring in some baby faces, Ricochet, Madcap Moss, and maybe, I don't know, maybe you throw in Sheamus there to give Sheamus a little love. Up the star power, you know? I think by then, Drew McIntyre is involved with Karrion Kross, and I think you want to keep Drew McIntyre away from Roman Reigns anyway, but go to Survivor Series with that match, and then the final thing is Logan Paul gets entered into the Royal Rumble 2 months after Survivor Series. Logan Paul goes into the Royal Rumble with the intention of going to WrestleMania to get one more match with Roman Reigns. However, something happens in the Royal Rumble, which begins the story of whatever actually takes Logan Paul to WrestleMania, and Roman starts the story of what takes him to WrestleMania. So that's when the paths can split, and who knows? You leave it open for it to continue later. But you got Logan Paul, somebody eliminates him, somebody cheats him, somebody does something. And so now Logan Paul's got to settle that score at WrestleMania. He doesn't win the Royal Rumble, obviously. And Roman can go on to do what I think he should do at WrestleMania, which is fight The Rock on night one, and then beat The Rock, and then on night two, fight the winner of the Royal Rumble, Cody Rhodes. So that's why now works for me. I think that probably the best thing Logan Paul said was, no matter what happens here, you're going to get whatever he said, a show. I'm paraphrasing now. But he said basically one of two things is going to happen. I'm either going to get my ass kicked or I'm going to win the WWE Championship. Either way, who's not watching? And that's 100% dead on. That's the beauty of Logan Paul, that there's no reason not to watch. Either you want to see the guy get his face smashed or you want to see the unthinkable happen and he ends the reign of Roman Reigns. There's no bad result. That's the beauty of it. Now, don't get it twisted. Don't put it out of your head, especially since it's at Crown Jewel. The unthinkable has happened at Crown Jewel before. Saudi Arabia is where The Fiend lost to Goldberg. Okay? Crazy things happen. Logan Paul could definitely win the WWE Universal Undisputed Championship. That could happen. Crazier things have happened, and I know you're sitting there going like, why would they not give Drew his moment only a month later to have Logan Paul beat Roman Reigns? Yeah, you're right. But I'm just saying, that could happen. They're making this the main event. Crazier, way crazier things than that have happened in WWE. We could go off the air with Logan Paul as double champ. That's possible. I don't think that'll happen. I think what we're going to see and why this is ultimately going to be a good thing is Roman Reigns is going to smash Logan Paul. And I think it only adds to the mystique of Roman Reigns that now you've got Roman, who when he's making his list of people that he's destroyed, and that list should be made leading up to WrestleMania, you've got all of the top superstars of today. Drew McIntyre, whoever you want. You've got legends. John Cena, Edge. You've got the Unconquerables, Brock Lesnar. You got Daniel Bryan getting stacked up. And you got the guy who's been involved in super fights across the land, Logan Paul. Roman Reigns' terror expands beyond WWE. Roman Reigns' terror expands into the mainstream. There is nobody, nobody that can stop Roman Reigns. I think Logan Paul, when you look at it from the perspective of this is a guy who legitimately had a boxing match with Floyd Mayweather and went however many rounds. I say legitimately, you know, it might be a stretch, but it was a boxing match, exhibition, but a boxing match nonetheless. I think it adds tremendously when you realize that Roman Reigns has murked Logan Paul as well. He does it again in Survivor Series. It's perfect. It's perfect. Logan Paul said some wild stuff at that press conference. And when I say wild, I mean stuff that, like, his spirit makes sense. The words that he's saying don't make sense. Like, I wish somebody would pull him aside and go, what do you mean? What do you mean? He goes, Roman, you say you're the head of the table. Well, I am the table. And Matthew from Botchamania was just losing his mind. Thank you, God, for giving me this.
I am the table.
Thank you, Lord God, for giving me Logan Paul saying I am the table. But if Roman Reigns is the head of the table and you're declaring yourself the table, Roman Reigns is the head of you. So what? That's not better. Being the table is not better than being the head of the table. I am the body that you're presiding over. I'm the whole United States. Well, I'm the president of the United States. So there you go. And then he said in an interview, the WWE is a universe. I want to turn it into a multiverse by getting eyes that aren't already watching wrestling on wrestling. I think that he does want to do that. And I think he will do that. I think he'll be successful. I think he's a great addition. I don't think that's a multiverse. I think that's an expansion of a singular universe. If he wanted to turn the WWE into a multiverse, he would need to have different versions of WWE superstars that we know and love competing against each other in different contexts. Like maybe a guy calling himself Roman Reigns that looked more like Barry Horowitz with a Shield vest on still or something like that and saying this is Roman Reigns in the other universe. Like in Spider-Man, there's three Spider-Mans. How are there three Spider-Mans? Because it's a multiverse. They're all happening at the same time. Getting more people to watch is an expansion of a singular universe, not... It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I love the buzz it's creating. I love the way it's getting us to talk about it. And that I can sit here and opine on it for as long as I'm opining about it. I think it's great. And another thing that I think is great is the story that's going on right beside this. Let's take a second, as we should be doing on a fairly regular basis, to heap praise onto one Sami Zayn. A photo came out from the press conference. This was not a posed photo. This was a candid photo. And the photo has Roman Reigns sitting there looking unstoppable. Paul Heyman sitting there looking prideful of his tribal chief. Jimmy Uso sitting there just looking tough. Sami Zayn standing there looking like a dope with a smile on his face. And Jey Uso glaring at Sami, which means that Jey was just doing this at the press conference. We're not even acknowledging it. That word acknowledge keeps coming up. We're not even acknowledging it. It's just a thing that Jey is doing. If you look at this picture, it was everywhere. I believe I tweeted it and said it was iconic because it is. Because so much story is being told in this photo. Don't get it twisted. Sami Zayn's not the only one who's performing on another level. Main event Jey Uso is stepping up and proving that he is absolutely main event Jey Uso. Now, at some point, clearly, push is going to come to shove. Sami Zayn is going to be out. And I believe that we will have a tremendous rivalry where Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens reunite and have wars with the Usos. And it's going to be wonderful. And maybe the WWE thought, yeah, maybe old Hunter Hearst Helmsley thought, yeah, we'll probably do it around this time or that time. I would venture to guess that time has been pushed off by a lot. Because I thought Sami Zayn had hit his peak in the work that he was doing with Johnny Knoxville. Sami Zayn is working on an entirely different level now. Sami Zayn is just the only reason that they'll take Sami Zayn out of the bloodline is because he's going to end up getting bigger reactions than Roman because of how good this guy is. It's sick how good Sami Zayn is. The fact that he has performance instincts, comic instincts, wrestling instincts. He's gotten to the point where there is not one tool in his toolbox that needs sharpening. However, they keep getting sharper. This guy, it's like an aside now that this guy can have a great match with literally anybody. That's just a bonus for Sammy. Sammy can get by never wrestling a match and still being one of the best and most valuable members of the WWE roster. And then he gets in the ring. Oh my God. This is a guy who could literally do anything inside of the sphere of professional wrestling. The way he's been playing his role to a T, the way he reacts just enough and just right, no matter what happens. This is why he can jump in a ring, get knocked out by Logan Paul, and nobody looks at him like a scrub. He could get knocked out by Logan Paul this week and become the world champion next week. It wouldn't make a difference because Sami Zayn has risen to the point where he is in complete control of the perception of his character. And that is very rare air. It's an incredible thing to bear witness to because it doesn't happen often. And it's happening right now for Sami Zayn. I've said on many shows that I've done, I love witnessing greatness. That's why I don't like sports. I love Michael Jordan because I love seeing somebody who's great at something. I love Tiger Woods. I love seeing somebody who's truly great at something. That's why I love guys like Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. Truly great. Ric Flair. I was watching a lot of tape of Ricky Steamboat for something that I was doing over the weekend. And like, his instincts in the ring are just still to this day on a completely different level. I love to see stuff like that. But watching Sami Zayn, no matter what he's doing, just rise and rise and rise and rise to the point where Sami Zayn has reached this spot where they couldn't put him in a position where he wouldn't prosper. There are people who in the exact same position as Sami Zayn would have the WWE being accused of burying them. There are people who would get the same role that Sami Zayn has, and fans would sit there and go, why are they burying this guy? But nobody is saying that about Sami Zayn because he is so damn good at what he does. It's an incredible thing to witness. It's also great to witness NXT on the come up. I love that there's been a new focus put on NXT. First of all, the big tease coming off of NXT 2.0 this week was just when you thought you would hit your peak, when Solo Sikoa, we open with a cage match right out of the box. Excellent. Good wrestling. Good storytelling. We go back and we look at the year that's been for NXT 2.0. And it really is amazing that in the last year, some of the people that have come up as quickly as they have. That Bron Breakker has literally only been wrestling matches for a year. And he's already like ready for it. That Solo Sikoa has only been wrestling television matches for a year. And he is ready for it. That the Creed brothers have gone from greenhorns to locker room leader. It's an incredible thing to witness in NXT right now when you look at it from that perspective. But Carmelo Hayes comes out after beating up Wes Lee and says, I beat up my opponent. I'm the man. And here comes Solo Sikoa back into the NXT arena. And what was amazing is that after only two shows on television, He did Clash of the Castle, and then I think he did one. Yeah, he did Clash of the Castle and one SmackDown, where he fought Drew McIntyre. After that, he returns to the NXT arena, and the people go wild for him. Absolutely ape for him, because he's a big, big star right now. That's the power of the bloodline. When Solo Sikoa walked back into the NXT arena, it was like, oh, that's the bloodline, Solo Sikoa. And he won the North American Championship. He ended the reign of Carmelo Hayes. I know there's a lot of Carmelo Hayes fans. I'm one of them. But having Solo Sikoa show up on Raw, and I mean show up on SmackDown, and show up at that press conference with the NXT North American Championship, all of a sudden, a lot of new credibility is being put on that NXT North American Championship. And when there's brand new credibility, because it's there and it's like, yeah, this is one of the Bloodlines titles. And the Bloodlines titles, they unified the tag titles. They unified the world titles. Now they've got the North American Championship. It's a big deal. Solo Sikoa is a big deal. He's prideful of that championship. Now the championship is a big deal across all three brands. And when the NXT North American Championship is a big deal, the NXT World Championship is a big deal. When the NXT World Championship is a big deal, NXT is a big deal. That's the way it works. I think it's brilliant. I love it. I love what I'm seeing. And hopefully that means we'll also get Solo Sikoa coming back on NXT shows, which is a draw now that Solo Sikoa is a television star from the Bloodline. Just when we think we've hit the pinnacle, after we see Solo, at the end of the show, the NXT logo morphs from being colorful sparkles to being white, black, and gold. And we realize that NXT 2.0 is back to just being NXT. Now, it's not exactly the same. It's still the current font, but it's not 2.0. I don't know if Wale still gets to do the song for it or not, but it looks like we're going to go back to a vision that more closely resembles the original black and gold vision, which I think is great now, because clearly the person who thought black and gold was developmental is in charge, because a lot of the stars of black and gold, Johnny Gargano, Karrion Kross, Hit Row, are all Dexter Lumis, are all getting chances to have spotlights put on them on the main roster, which is the point of black and gold. I also think that you're going to get, and we started to see this at Worlds Collide, that, you know, with the inclusion of some of the NXT UK superstars, with the inclusion of Gallus, with the inclusion of Mako Satomura, with the inclusion of Tyler Bate, with the inclusion of Ricochet and some of the main roster stars that are coming down, Doudrop, Nikki Cross, Nikki A.S.H., I think you're going to start seeing better and bigger matches. They're reportedly doing Halloween Havoc as a premium live event, which is atypical since they just did one at the beginning of September. It's only 6 weeks instead of 2 or 3 months. I love it because I do pre-shows. I wouldn't be at all shocked. Now, it's going to be interesting because WWE premium live events are on Saturdays now. When people are coming into a town for a premium live event, it's a lot easier. They're going to be coming in on the Saturday before if they're going to a Sunday show. So if you put on a show Saturday night, yeah, I'll go to that. But if they're coming in for a premium live event that's on a Saturday, and then there's also a show on a Sunday, there's no guarantee that they're going to stay for the Sunday. That said, it's probably still better than a matinee show. I would not be shocked to see NXT put on a show in Boston. I would not be shocked if War Games, and this is not because I know anything, this is just because I'm watching the show and seeing the momentum that NXT is picking up and seeing the energy that's being put back into NXT. I would not be shocked if they tried to do War Games, which is generally done in November, around Survivor Series in Boston. They couldn't do it on the Friday, obviously. And they could technically try to pull it off on a Thursday. But I think more than likely they might experiment it on a Sunday. They might try to do it on the Sunday and think, well, War Games is an attraction, you know, the structure and everything. So hopefully we can pull it off. If they don't do that, then I really think that they'll be back in an arena by Royal Rumble weekend. because I think Royal Rumble weekend's going to be blown up. San Antonio. I think you're going to see NXT back on the road. I think maybe 3, possibly 4, if it works. But I think in the beginning, they'll plan on putting NXT back on the road maybe 3 times a year. And then if that works, maybe 4 times a year, and then we go from there. I don't think it makes sense to have NXT getting separate weekends like they were doing for a period of time. I think peak NXT was having a takeover and a WWE pay-per-view same weekend. Since Triple H is so hands-on now, I wouldn't be surprised if they started trying to shift the pay-per-views back to Sunday and doing NXT shows on Saturday going forward. But I don't know. I guess we'll see. We're going to get some good stuff this week, I'll tell you right now. AEW is going to be an Arthur Ashe for whatever. I don't know what it's called. But for Dynamite, I don't know what the special name of it is. But I will tell you this. 13,000 people or whatever it ends up being in Arthur Ashe Stadium are going to see something that could end up being match of the year. Jon Moxley versus Bryan Danielson. BCC versus BCC. In the AEW title tournament finals is going to be one of the best matches of the year. Bar none. I can't wait. That's a fantasy match in this context. I wouldn't be at all shocked if Bryan Danielson ends up winning the AEW championship. I think the pop that he'll get in New York will be huge. And I think I love the idea of doing Mox versus MJF and doing Bryan Danielson versus MJF. I think that the Mox stuff that that MJF is doing right now is either misdirection or it'll just push off MJF's eventual title win. You know, I mean, they can't switch the title immediately again. It's been a big problem with the AEW championship, and that has to do with injury and fights coming off of media scrums. You see Kenny Omega with the bite mark on his arm in Tokyo. That picture was on Twitter. So they can't switch it immediately anyway. So if the plan is to get the world title on MJF, then I think pushing it off is the right move. I think that you go to the November pay-per-view with Mox versus MJF as a grudge match and then push off Danielson versus MJF for the AEW championship until the next pay-per-view. If you can get Adam Cole back, Adam Cole versus Danielson would be a big match for the title. You know, you could maybe build up Wardlow. You could maybe do Jericho as the third match. You know, Jericho won at the pay-per-view. Jericho lost. So you could have like a 2 out of 3 falls rubber match between Jericho and Danielson. I don't think anybody would complain about that. So there are other matches you could do for Danielson to push off the MJF match so that when MJF wins the title, Bryan Danielson has had a run. It's probably the way I would handle it. And then, of course, you have this.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small.
A song that's been playing for the WWE ticket-buying universe that's been leaking online. Nothing happens by mistake. And I don't think this is a coincidence. White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane played just for the live crowd on SmackDown in Anaheim. And then it played again in Bakersfield, California, I believe, at a live event on Saturday night. I don't know if it played on Sunday because I'm taping this on Sunday. Now, look, it could mean a couple of things. White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane is a big hippie song. It was a big part of it. It's a California song to me. They're in California. They're playing White Rabbit. It's possible. A lot of people are associating this with Bray Wyatt because it's a trippy song, because it's a down the rabbit hole song. It's a drug song. And Bray Wyatt makes you feel like you're on drugs. Could be. we have to keep in mind, every single tease that we have seen on WWE television since Triple H took over, all of them, 100% of them, have been, I think Bray Wyatt's coming. I think that's Bray Wyatt. Every pay-per-view has been, and then maybe Bray Wyatt comes out. People thought Bray Wyatt was in Wales. Okay? There has not been a day that's gone by. There's not been one WWE event that has gone by that somebody hasn't said, that's for Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt's going to come out there. Bray Wyatt's going to be here. I have no doubt in my mind that Bray Wyatt's coming back to WWE. Triple H is in charge. Triple H hears the fans. Triple H understands that the reason that everybody thinks that every single thing that happens is an indication that Bray Wyatt is coming back is because every single fan wants Bray Wyatt to come back. Every single fan wants Bray Wyatt to come back. It could be a Bray Wyatt thing. it could be the next evolution of Bray Wyatt for sure. There's no way that they're playing this song twice in a row and not thinking this is going to get on the internet. There was a red light that went with it. People put their cell phone lights up in the air like they used to do for the Wyatt family. There's a lot there. I wouldn't be shocked at all if this were Bray Wyatt. That said, I wouldn't have been that shocked if anything that has led up. I mean, even after we knew Dexter Lumis was back, there was a shot on Raw where we saw clearly Dexter Lumis's hand. He was wearing the glove that Dexter Lumis always wears. But because it was a leather glove with the Velcro strap on it, it didn't say hurt or heal on it. People were like, holy shit, that's Bray Wyatt's glove. No, it was Dexter Lumis's glove. I understand we want Bray Wyatt. We see him everywhere. I get it. It's like when a loved one passes away and you think they're communicating with you from beyond the grave, but it's really just because you're thinking about them all the time. I hate to be the one to burst that bubble. You're creating that. That said, Bray Wyatt strikes me as the type of person that would listen to White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. So it does all work out. Before we go today, let's get into the Mizzale bag. Let's see. You guys are writing me lots of great letters. NotSamWrestling@gmail.com is the email address. You want to write into the show. It's NotSamWrestling@gmail.com. One of our favorites, Rocky G, wrote in. This was based on last week's episode where I pitched the return of CM Punk to WWE, who, by the way, Bray Wyatt would get a bigger Well, people would be happier to see Bray Wyatt back. The first reaction for CM Punk, there's nothing that would be bigger than that. The first reaction. Rocky G says, sorry, I think you lost it with your opinion on Punk and WWE. Delusional thoughts. Still love the podcast, though. Look, Rocky, I hope you know me by now. You have to understand that sometimes the troll in me sees the blood in the water and I can't help myself. Like the replies I got on the tweet that said, hey, if I had time to put up a YouTube video, I wanted to edit a YouTube video. I might still, just for the comments. I can't help myself. I can't. I appreciate you, Rocky. James writes in, hey Sam, what's the haps? Big ups, James. Long time listener, Colt Cabana shouted you out one time on his podcast. You know, I share a bank account with Colt Cabana's mom. That's true. And I've listened weekly ever since. I want to say around episode 30 to 35, you're almost in about 15 weeks, you'll be 400 episodes, 400 weeks into listening to this, wonderful podcast. As like yourself, I'm a WWE shill, but I can't help but be drawn to Danhausen. Being a millennial and understanding all his Simpsons references and pop culture references is a refreshing thing. I would agree with that. I would love to see him in WWE one day, as I could see him having segments with Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, The New Day, and even going as far as Cody Rhodes, throwing some Stardust references. What are your thoughts on Danhausen's gimmick working in the WWE universe? Keep up the good work. Thank you, James. I would assume that you know I'm as big a Danhausen fan as you'll find. I've had him on the podcast twice. He's been here in the Not Sam studio in person even before he was in AEW. I love Danhausen. I have two of the Zombie Sailor Danhausen figures coming my way. I'm going to try to scam a third one from Zombie Sailor. I love Danhausen. I'm skeptical of how the gimmick would do in WWE. Because WWE, number one, likes to get their hands on things, and number two, likes to play things over the top. WWE traditionally has not been subtle about humor. That said, I don't know what it would look like with a Triple H WWE. You know, we have only seen Danhausen types in creative run by Vince McMahon. And I don't think in a Vince McMahon WWE, Danhausen would fit. Not because of Danhausen, but because of what would kind of be adjusted with Danhausen. I'd like to see Danhausen in an NXT and see if he built up enough steam to come to the main roster. I will tell you this, and I would tell anyone at WWE if they asked me, I can tell you, based on podcast downloads, based on YouTube views, based on every metric that I have, that Danhausen is as popular as anyone. That Danhausen has the ability to be as over in WWE as anybody else. That people will buy Danhausen toys. People will buy Danhausen shirts. Danhausen is a phenomenon. And if I were running a wrestling promotion, he's one of the first people. I'd want Sami Zayn. I'd want Danhausen. I'd want Ricky Starks. That's a different podcast. Gregory Holmes getting one title off Roman. All right, straight to business. Roman had a banger of a match, but Theory cashes in. The announcer says Austin Theory had cashed in Money in the Bank contract for WWE World Championship, and this is now a triple threat match. Theory pins whoever the other guy is, goes off the air with Austin Theory holding both titles, nuclear heat. The next Raw opens up with Theory gloating when Roman's music hits. Out walks the entire bloodline, including Heyman and Adam Pearce. They run back the footage, emphasizing the wording and that the cash-in allows you a shot at one title. They all walk in the ring, but only Heyman and Pearce get in. Pearce takes the title and hands it to Heyman. Once Heyman places the title in Roman's hands, the bloodline, except Roman, jumps Theory, then drags his body out of the ring to Roman, and he belittles and slaps Theory. I had more details. It would require a match at Extreme Rules. Longtime listener, love your stuff, man. So I'm thinking the same thing that you are. That's where I was going last week before I ran out of time. I don't think you take a title off Roman Reigns. I think you take a title off whoever beats Roman Reigns, but I think now the double title is the aesthetic that they're looking for with Roman. However, I think the only way to take a title off Roman would be that scenario. Theory cashes in, pins the guy that Roman is facing. Theory wins both titles. The next show, Theory has to give one up. I don't think it's Adam Pearce that does it. I think it's Paul Heyman that clearly has weaseled his way in. I think Adam Pearce kind of looks reluctantly and goes, yeah, you do have to give up the Universal Championship. You know, or like, you know, Paul Heyman can choose or whatever. Theory has to give up the Universal Championship. That way Roman Reigns' reign remains intact. But I don't think the bloodline can jump Theory. I think somebody else would have to jump Theory. Roman would have to move on to something else, whatever it is. I think the guy who Theory pinned would have to start the rivalry with Theory. Because if you have the bloodline jumping Theory, now you're starting a rivalry to try to get that title back. And if Roman Reigns is trying to get his second title back, then he has to get it back. Roman can't lose. And then you've completely defeated the purpose of separating the titles to begin with. Shyamo. Hey, Sam. I'm really interested in seeing how you'd rank these four wrestlers. Goldberg, Ultimate Warrior, Scott Steiner, and Lex Luger in these four categories. Icon, draw, legend, overrated. Okay. I give Icon to Warrior. I give draw to Goldberg. Right? No. I'm going to give legend to Goldberg. And then draw or overrated between Scott Steiner and Lex Luger. I'm not putting overrated on either of these two guys, but I'll probably give the draw to Scott Steiner, to tell you the truth. I'm not going to say Lex Luger's overrated, but between Icon, draw, and legend, Lex Luger's not making my list over Warrior, Steiner, and Goldberg. Personally, Latoya says, hey, Sam, I've been listening since June and have become a huge fan. I appreciate you, Latoya. I enjoy your refreshing take on wrestling and enjoy talking and discussing your topics with my friends. My question is, do you think the women's division needs to have one main champion like Roman and focus on building tag teams, or do they need to keep things the same? Also, do they need to have another Evolution Premium live event regards Toya? Toya, I'll tell you what I think. I don't think they need to combine the titles at all, because I think you need to have strong women's divisions on both Raw and SmackDown. I think that the women's tag division needs to have a priority put on it. I think that Io Sky and Dakota Kai being a very formidable duo is a good thing, but that's happened before. I think that active energy needs to be put into that tag division, and that there need to be women's tag teams that their only goal is to get the titles. I think that you need to introduce women tag teams like the Usos, like Los Lotharios, like the Viking Raiders, like the Street Profits, teams that they're a team. They're not, their goal is not singles championships. Their goal is tag team championships. And that to me, and that's bringing in more talent. That to me is how you really put the emphasis on the women's tag team championship. Beyond that, I think you need to have one story going for the world title. I think you need to have one, or for the Raw title, one story going for the SmackDown title. I think you need to have a singular story, or a couple of stories you could have going on for the tag team championship. But I think the key to the women's division is to start doing more stories that are not based on championships. I think that, that's what the women's division consistently and historically has been missing. Storylines that are not championship driven. I think that's what I would add to the women's division, more personal issues. Miz and Dexter Lumis have a story going on right now that is not title related. Pat McAfee and Happy Corbin had a storyline going on that was not title related. You need to Riddle and Rollins have a storyline going on that's not title related. I think you need to create these stories that are personal, that are deeply personal and not title related, and that is how you get them interested. I don't think that I'm not against another Evolution pay-per-view. I don't think that we need it. I think that we need more women's matches on general premium live events that have the fans packed in. That it's like, that story is so good that that's the match that I need to see at this show. That is the direction I would take things. Hope you've enjoyed it. Hope you've enjoyed the direction I've taken today. If you want more Not Sam Wrestling, you can always join the Patreon at patreon.com/NotSamWrestling. If not, see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Follow at Not Sam on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Rate, review, and subscribe. This has been Not Sam Wrestling. Not Sam Wrestling.